It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It will now be a Sunday at 1 o'clock game on Fox. The NFL has announced. So again, the Week 16 game that would have been the Thursday nighter between the Browns and the Bengals has been moved to Sunday, 1 o'clock. Instead, the Thursday night game will be the Denver Broncos versus the Los Angeles Chargers on Thursday night. So Browns move to Sunday at 1 o'clock, the week of December 19th.
So wait, you're saying the NFL doesn't want a 4-7 team up against a 3-8 team? What?
That'd be December 22nd. Do I have that right? 22nd would be the date? Yes, December 22nd would be that game.
All right, okay. Let's get to the hotline. North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's our super friend. You know him. You love him. Former Indians pitcher and now calls the Tampa area home, where he is the color analyst for the Rays, the team really without a stadium. They'll be playing in a minor league park coming up next season. They'll be moving over to the Yankees spring training home. He is Brian Anderson. Took way too long to get to you. Sorry, Brian. How are you?
We've been flex, BA.
How do you think I am? Happy Friday, baby. How about last night, huh?
Were you digging it?
That's right in the world. It's all that's right in the world. Somebody in this room isn't as over the moon as he should be, though.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
What are you talking about?
You came out whining.
I didn't whine. I just said it's a hard pill to swallow when your team beat the Steelers and the Ravens and you're sitting here with three wins and you should have beat the Bengals. That's all. I said one thing that is absolutely truthful. You want to argue that with me, BA, or no?
No, you know what? I have not gone down that path, and that typically is something that I would have already done.
That is correct, because why?
With beating the Steelers.
We are cut from the same cloth, yes.
The fact that it has been brought up, yes. What it does is it gives you a glimpse of what you know this team was capable of.
Yep.
But you were riding number four, and you were never going to get there. Now, I'm not saying Jameis is the long-term answer. I don't know, but it is – certainly exciting when he's under center, and with the two wins that you're talking about, it gives you a glimpse like, hey, you know what, this team was capable of so much more. It's sad that it's, you know, the season is what it is, especially coming off of last year and all the momentum building into this year, thinking that, you know, hey, listen, 11 wins with five quarterbacks last year, so let's go. And it's turned out to be a horrendous season, but last night was obviously a huge bright spot, especially beating that team at home in front of the hometown fans and with the weather. The first weather game of the year, and it did not disappoint, man. That snow in the second half was awesome.
Daniel?
Andrew?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So here's the other question I was kicking around, BA. After watching Jameis the last couple of weeks, would you sign him to like a three-year deal? Like, I'm just talking 3 years, let's say 20 mil a year just for fun.
Yes, I would. I absolutely would. You know what I mean? Because what else do you have going forward? You know, is it going to be a draft? Is it going to be a guy that, you know, I mean, I've heard that, and I don't know. I don't do enough of the studying of, you know, the quarterback class. But I've heard it's maybe underwhelming is not the right word.
No, it's worse. I ask that same question to every college football expert we have, and they're like, this is not a good draft for quarterbacks.
Yeah, it kind of falls under so not good,
go.
Bob.
Yeah, okay, so there you go. So what are you going to – if you're thinking about the draft, you've got an underwhelming class of quarterbacks in the draft, and, you know, Jameis is a guy – listen, he's been there and done that before. I mean, I would do that. I would absolutely do that so that you have someone on that roster that you can count on to go out there and play. And is he going to give the ball away and make some throws maybe he shouldn't because he believes that he can make that throw? Yeah, that's probably going to happen. I mean, he had a season where he threw 30 picks. So, you know, he's going to give the ball to the other team, but he's also going to give the ball to your guys an awful lot too, and throw for a lot of yardage and, you know, and a lot of touchdowns if he's out there regularly. So he would be a guy that I would love to have on the roster, because he's also played the backup. So if you end up stumbling into a situation where you have a guy behind center, he's your backup. If not, you play him. But think about where this quarterback room would be if he's not with them. It's going to be an unknown, a young draft pick in a bad draft class. And who else? Where are we going to find a better backup than Jameis? I don't know.
Okay, so there was a lot of rumblings going into this thing about Kevin Stefanski and his future. I think he's locked in, man. I don't think he's going anywhere. The question is about Andrew Berry, I think, a little bit, Paul DePodesta. How will the front office look? But wins like last night, you know, we heard what Tom Pelissero had to say earlier today. Like, I don't think Kevin's going anywhere. What do you think?
Yeah, I would hope not. I mean, everybody, you know, loves to get on the coach, and so then you have to go find one. And yep. Who's that going to be? And Stefanski is a good coach. There's no question about that. Not lost the team. You know, I think that he's excellent. Two-time, you know, coach of the year. Last year was able to meander his way through that schedule with 11 wins. And I don't care if you say the schedule wasn't strong or not. 11 wins with five different quarterbacks. You know, riding out that was a pretty great job by not only the guys, you know, next man up and getting it done on the field, but the coaching staff for having them ready, prepared, and believing that they could do that. And so I absolutely think that he's going to be there, and I think that he should be there. I don't think that his seat should even be remotely warm. You know, this was just a season from hell, but I don't think it has anything to do with him. Or not, it doesn't all lay at his feet.
Former Indians pitcher / current Tampa Bay Ray color analyst Brian Anderson joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You, of course, know him as the best friend of the show. B.A., is Jerry Jeudy a keeper? Because I initially, when they made that move, I was like, okay, you didn't give up a whole lot. And then they turned around and paid him. I was like, ooh, that's a choice. And I'm starting to wonder if they made the right choice, man.
Well, hey, listen, last night, what, six catches, 85 yards, and some tough catches? You know, you think about that fourth down conversion on.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, we lost him.
Oh, man.
Oh, he was coming.
There
he
is. He's back. Low snow. That was a heck of a catch in some tough circumstances. I mean, he really balled out in some, you know, it's not like Jerry Judy's probably played in a weather like that. I mean, maybe out in Denver he had a game or two, but that, the way that he performed last night, then you go, yeah, that's a guy making tough catches in a tough game in tough weather. You know, listen, they need somebody out there. They need somebody out there wide. I mean, there's not a, you know, it's not like they have a loaded wide receiver room either.
You want to switch over to baseball? You ready? BA? Still, are we having trouble with this phone line still?
I think
still?
He is. Yeah, he's cutting in and out.
You know where he's probably on the stupid bridge from St. Petersburg.
I am on the bridge. I'm on the bridge right now. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Great call, wasn't it?
Hey, look, you know what's funny? I was just talking about this with a buddy yesterday. So when we start our season next year, I don't know if I'll ever cross this bridge. I don't know that I will ever go into St. Pete, you know, with us playing on the Tampa side.
You know what? We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Oh, guys. You, hey. Dude, this is like the sixth dad joke that he's had in the first hour of this show, and I'm going to need Tums if this keeps up.
He's not, it's not, you know, you think after last night, you would come out and just roll and it would be easy. Excited, you don't have fans yelling at you all day, you know, calling in and just spewing venom. This is a good day. But
it is really weird. There has been very, very little venom today. Very little. People, it's the Steelers. That's why. I mean, it's got to be. If this was a win against any other team, maybe than the Ravens, I don't know that people would be this happy. It's in a two-win season, three-win season right now where you're at, that when you beat the Steelers, it's a little bit more special, right? Everyone, can we all feel like that? Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you're going to have one of those years, then at least beat those teams.
Yes.
And no question about it. You know, the season's lost. These become your bowl games and your playoff games.
All right, BA, let's head to the baseball side of things. The awards have all been announced. No real shockers throughout anything. The only question I have for you, and this one might be a little bit off the beaten path, but we've started to see more and more think pieces like this. Do you think that Major League Baseball needs... I mean, I know they have the Mariano Rivera Award for relievers and the Trevor Hoffman Award for relievers. Do they need to, like, boost those a little bit more or figure out some kind of reliever Cy Young that truly has meaning to it? Because it feels like right now the Cy Young has just – and it's always been a starting pitcher award. But, boy, buddy, with the amount of relievers we're using now, I feel like we really need to highlight this more.
Yeah, I think that that's why they went down the path with those particular awards. And they will try over the course of time – to continue to put the spotlight on, because you're right, bullpens are being used now like they've never been used before. Here's my issue with Major League Baseball, and I don't understand why they do it, but does anybody care about these awards at this point? You know, I didn't even realize they came out, oh, Stephen Vogt, AL Manager of the Year. Oh, great, who cares? But why is it so far removed from the season? Nobody is thinking about baseball right now. So when you come out with these awards, everybody's like, yeah, great. You don't even actually know what award's coming out on what day. It boggles my mind. It's so far removed from the end of the season. People have moved on. They are into college football. They are into professional, you know, NFL football. They are starting to get into basketball and the NBA and college hoops have started. That's where people – and baseball's like, hey, look, we're handing awards out over here. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Get it closer to the season, for goodness sake. I didn't even know. I'm in the industry and had no idea. I'm getting alerts on my phone that so-and-so won Rookie of the Year. I think they gave Rookie of the Year. Oh, awesome. That's cool. Why am I figuring that out at the end of November, for God's sake?
I'm not going to lie. Listen. There was only one thing that was really intriguing to me about all this voting. There were two. I thought Class A would be interesting to see if he could get a few votes, and he ended up, third place for Cy Young. The other thing is that Stephen Vogt only got 27 of the 30. So the first thing that came to my mind was, who were the three baseball writers of the Association of America that didn't vote for him? Right? Like, you look to see how many votes somebody, and then you're like, and rather than looking at the positive going, man, there were 27 beat writers that thought, hey, Stephen Vogt should be the manager of the year. You ask yourself, who are the three guys that didn't think he was manager of the year?
Yeah. Well, who ended up getting the first place votes? Who had three first place votes? Was it one guy or somebody else? I don't even
Kansas
know.
City. The guy in Kansas City got the other three.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Quintraro. He came from Tampa Bay. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there were any expectations for that team. So that, I guess. But it coming from the same division, too, you would think Stephen Vogt, rookie manager, and it thought was going to go out and do what they did. Yeah, he's got to be a clean sweep there. Just like you knew that Scoobal was going to be more than likely a clean sweep. Then Class A, I would have figured, in second. But, again, I don't even know how it lined up because it's so far removed from the season. I didn't even know these awards were coming out.
It's asinine.
I said this yesterday. Yeah. Look, let's be honest. I'm really happy that Stephen Vogt won Manager of the Year. But by the same token – he'll never get a vote because the team is so bad. But, hey, Grady Sizemore got the White Sox to the finish line. I know they were a bad team. But, really, if you think about it, what's harder, to have a good team that knows how to play and have a guy that can manage good players or a guy that's got bad players trying to get you through a season? I think – not that Grady Sizemore should be manager of the year, I wish he would have got the gig too, but he should get like a flak jacket or something, right?
Well, let's make
a bulletproof vest.
We should do everything in our power to forget that White Sox team ever happened. Just move it along.
Agreed. After watching them, but we all know how this goes, guys. Hey, we all know that Manager of the Year is baseball writers' way of saying who made me look the dumbest of the year. And so because we don't know why this team was better than it should have been, it's managing. Here, it's the manager. Here you go. Here's an award. You made us look dumb. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, and you'd like to know at the end of the day how much managing is actually done nowadays. You know, there are a lot of moves that are made.
I was waiting for this. Keep going.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
No, I think you're right. Like, Brian, I'm telling you, listen, BA, when I talk to folks that we talk about managing in Major League Baseball, I go, you must listen to Brian Anderson every Friday on our show because he is 100% telling us the way it is about the way these lineup cards get turned in, who's actually putting the names on the lineup card. And then, and correct me if I'm wrong, once the game starts, don't you think it's a little bit more in the manager's hands than even before the game starts?
Well, yeah, certainly once the game starts, that moves have to be made. But there are times, blatant times that you see a move made, and I'll look over at Dwayne, and in between innings, I'm like, well, that was decided at about 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Yep.
You know, there was a perfect example, Aaron Somali last year, starting a game for the Rays. And he went 5 innings. I think he had given up maybe a hit. No runs, one hit, 5 innings, 66 pitches, pulled. Why? Because get ready to go through the lineup for the third time. He's dealing. He hasn't missed a spot. He's throwing as well as he has thrown as a Ray, as probably as well as you've seen him in Cleveland. He was absolutely dealing. Pitch count was in order, 66, 5 innings, one base runner, no runs. Doesn't come out for the sixth. Well, okay, then that was decided in the middle of the afternoon. He gets 2 times through the order. Don't care if they're 5 perfect innings. He's coming out after 5. So that's not managing. That's been predetermined, and there's a lot of
that. That's straddle, Matt. Yeah. All right, B, I have 60 seconds. I have to ask you this question. It was one of our fact or fiction questions for the pregame show. Is turkey overrated?
No. Turkey is not overrated, and it doesn't have to be Thanksgiving for me to enjoy it. In fact, I just got an air fryer delivered today because for all the people out there that love to deep fry turkeys with the grease and the mess and the potential blowing up of the garage, go get yourself a Charbroil air fryer that hooks to a propane tank and do the turkey that way. You will not tell the difference between a deep fried turkey in oil and the air fried turkey. And it just came in today. I'm excited to get that baby out.
Really? All right, yeah. B.A. Well, take care of business. Have a great Thanksgiving. And will we talk to him before then?
I don't know. If he's bored next week.
Yeah, if you're bored, you can talk to us next week. Although I don't think he'll be here.
You know what? I will. I'm taking a little mini vacation with the kids. They don't have school next week. So
beautiful.
We're going out for a couple of days. We'll be back for Thanksgiving. And then, whatever. I'll talk to you on Friday.
Enjoy. All right. Good. Thank you, B.A. We'll talk to you soon. Brian Anderson on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Here's Andrew Hody with the 2020.